Amy Stewart is the author of 6 books, including the bestsellers The Drunken Botanist and Wicked Plants. All were nonfiction. She now has written a novel. Girl Waits with Gun is the story of Constance Kopp, a woman who doesn't quite fit the mold. She towers over most men, has no interest in marriage or domestic affairs, and has kept mostly to her remote farm ever since a family secret sent her household out of the country 15 years ago. It is a true story that she's writing about, but it is a fictional tale, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Amy Stewart to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
So having you on for, I think, all of your previous books, what led you to want to write a novel?
Well, what made me want to write a novel in general is that I've always wanted to write novels. And in fact, there are many failed novels in between my nonfiction books. So I've been working at it for a while. But this is a story that I just stumbled across by accident. It's a true story. And I got so fascinated with it that I felt actually a really powerful obligation to write it. And I definitely could see right away how it would make a better story as fiction than nonfiction.
So the story tells us about Constance Kopp. So what is true, what is not, and where did you want to take it when you ultimately had the facts?
Well, actually, almost everything in the novel really happened. Constance Kopp was 35 years old, unmarried, living at home with her two sisters in outside of Paterson, New Jersey, in 1915, so 100 years ago. And they were out one day in their horse and buggy, and they got run into by an automobile. So basically, the story starts with a car accident. And the guy driving the car was a rich and powerful silk factory owner, and he refused to pay for the damages. They got into a big conflict that escalated until these women were getting shots fired at their house and arson attempts and kidnapping threats. And the remarkable thing is that they paired up with the local sheriff, who taught them how to fire guns and defend themselves, and they went after this guy. It's just a remarkable story, and I did weave in a little bit of fiction to fill in the gaps, but if it really happened, it's in the story.
Constance, Norma, and Florette Kopp. Tell us about the relationship between these three sisters, and because they're all real great characters.
They are, and I was lucky enough to track down some family members who had stories about them, even people who hadn't met them but at least had heard about them. Constance was pretty unsatisfied with her life at the age of 35. She didn't want to get married. She wanted a career, but there were very few, you know, educational opportunities open for women. Her mother had discouraged it. There weren't a lot of jobs available for her other than domestic work or maybe some factory work in a silk factory. The middle sister, Norma, was a very difficult person, very hard to get along with. She didn't like other people. She didn't trust other people. She was very harsh and judgmental and stubborn, which I loved. Like, I thought, oh, I totally know people like that. And in fact, I might actually be like that on my bad days. So I loved Norma for that, and that's all real. And the youngest sister, Florette, was in real life very fashionable, made all her own clothes, probably made everybody's clothes, and had aspirations for the theater. I have newspaper clippings about her auditioning for singing competitions in Paterson. So she was a very pretty little creature, very stylish, and very dramatic.
And it is safe to say that the car accident really changed the course of their lives.
Yeah, it did. And, you know, the funny thing about real life is that we don't often have a singular event that comes along and sends our lives into an entirely new direction. You know, that happens in Hollywood all the time, right? It happens in the movies.
Right.
But it doesn't really happen to us. But that is what happened to them. This was a destructive and kind of terrifying event. They were under siege for a year. They had this gang of thugs, gangsters after them. And as terrifying as all that was, it brought them out into the world in a way that they hadn't been before. And certainly for Constance, it showed her some possibilities. It showed her what she was capable of. You know, it's like she didn't know her own strength until she went up against this guy, Henry Kaufman, who was trying to ruin their lives.
Amy Stewart is the author of the new novel, Girl Waits with Gun. Girl Waits with Gun was an actual headline.
Yes, it was. The newspapers at the time had a field day with this story. I have these fantastic drawings of the three of them holding their revolvers. They wrote some really kind of hilarious headlines. One of the headlines was, "Oh, for a chance to shoot at those nasty prowlers," and that was supposed to be a quote from the sisters, which is totally made up. But Girl Waits with Gun refers to a night when Constance participated in a sting operation with the sheriff. She went and stood out on a street corner in the middle of the night with a gun in her handbag to try to catch the guy, which was incredibly unusual behavior for a woman at that time. And that's, I think, why it made headlines nationwide when it happened.
The ultimate act of having a sheriff involve the victim of a crime to catch the bad guy, how unusual was that?
Not as unusual as you might think. I mean, I think it was unusual that it was a woman, but at that time, it's amazing to think that only 100 years ago, law enforcement was such a kind of ad hoc activity, a real sort of make it up as you go kind of deal. Many police officers and deputy sheriffs were volunteers. They didn't have the kind of training that law enforcement gets today. They barely even had uniforms. It was not at all unusual for Sheriff Heath to have to run around and actually round up a posse to go catch somebody, go knock on the doors of able-bodied men he knew and say, get your rifle, get your lantern, we're going to go out in the woods and try to get this guy. There's lots of newspaper articles about that happening.
Talk a little bit about those newspaper articles, how ultimately, and other sources, of how you patch these lives together.
Well, because I write nonfiction, I really love the research part, and it's kind of hard for me to let go of the research. So I have hundreds of newspaper articles about them, and I've spent, I don't even want to try to add up how much time I've spent reading the newspapers of the day. There are so many little things that happen in that book that actually happened. You know, if the cop sisters were walking down the street and I would ask myself, okay, so what's happening on the street? You know, what does it look like? What kind of stores are they passing? Rather than make anything up, I'd go back to newspapers from that day that they were walking down that street and look for anything that might have been going on. There's a scene in the book where there are some young girls raising money for the victims of a fire in Salem, and they're selling these little buttons. That really happened. Stuff like that, I just couldn't stay out of the newspapers. It really helped build out their world in a way that I couldn't have done on my own.
You mentioned earlier that there were still some family members around. How much did they know about their ancestors?
Well, this was really interesting. You know, they had stories, and you know how stories get passed down through families, and sometimes
Sure. They
change over time. So I had more details about what happened during this time period than they did. But they were able to fill in some critical pieces of information that I could never have guessed at, mostly having to do with the sisters' private lives, what they were like as people, what their relationships were like. So that was all incredibly useful. The most important person I met is that I was able to track down Florette's son. So the youngest sister in this novel was younger by a long shot. She was about 16 in 1914 or so. She had children later in life, and her son is 80-some-odd years old and living in New Jersey. So I was able to talk with someone who knew one of my characters very, very well, and he even remembered his Aunt Norma, the middle sister, from when he was a little boy and she was an old woman. So he had some things to say about her, too.
In writing nonfiction, as you say, you use the fiction to fill in the gaps. If you had known everything, would you have gone forward and just say, okay, this is going to be a nonfiction account, or did you want that responsibility to fill in the gaps?
Well, I really wanted this to be fiction, in part because I had so much fun researching these three women and getting to know them. And the sense of discovery, you know, every time I found out something new about them, it was like opening another Christmas present. You know, it was so much fun. And what I wanted is I wanted readers to love them as much as I did and to have the same emotion that I had when I was finding out about them. So the book, people keep telling me that they're surprised that even though it's a dark story and these women were under siege, there's a certain lightheartedness to it. And that's in part because I was just having so much fun and I wanted other people to. Like, if I could make somebody laugh out loud in the middle of all of this, then I'd done my job. So I think fiction lets you do that in a way that nonfiction often doesn't, because I can take more license with little details. I can write conversations that happen between them at home that no one could possibly know unless someone was sitting around keeping a detailed transcript of their lives, which never happened. So it's all those little gaps that I really enjoyed being able to fill in.
There is a character in the book by the name of Lucy Blake. She is a factory girl who works with Henry Kaufman in his factory, and a fictional character. So what did that character allow you to do?
I had spent a lot of time researching the history of the Patterson Silk Strikes of 1913. So this is a huge moment in the history of the American labor movement. Tens of thousands of workers went out on strike all at once, and workers walked off the job in New York and Pennsylvania as well in solidarity with them. And I got very sucked into the history of these strikes, even though they happened a year before my book started. But since my bad guy owned a silk factory, I wanted to know the context of what was happening, the labor unrest, the relationship with the workers. So Lucy Blake's story, what happened to her, is based very much on real life. The workers couldn't afford to feed their children when they were out on strike, and they sent them to live in New York with families who were sympathetic to the cause. You know, the union organized this and said, we're going to evacuate your children out of Patterson and put them with families who will feed them and take care of them until you can afford to have them come back home. And a few of those children never came back. So that story really touched me, and I thought, you know, I think I can write a character into this story who got caught up in all of that, and it'll give me and Constance a way in to some of that history.
For you and Constance, it was always your desire to have her be the voice of the novel.
Yeah, it was. I really fell in love with Constance. I identify with her quite a bit. You know, Constance was, in real life, 6 feet tall. She weighed 180 pounds. She was, in many ways, a misfit. You know, she didn't want to get married. She wanted a job, but she couldn't get one. And we probably all walk around feeling like misfits all the time. So there's something about that I identified with. And I wanted to hear her voice. You know, I've written 6 works of nonfiction that were all in my voice. It's all been Amy Stewart talking. And I didn't want this book to be Amy Stewart talking. And I thought that if I put it in her voice, it forces me to think about how would a woman of 1914 have explained herself and explained her situation. I read the book out loud over and over again to try to get it into a speaking voice, as if Constance is just sitting in a chair telling this story to a bunch of people.
So will you continue writing fiction?
Oh, yes. No, there's much more to tell about the Kopp sisters.
Okay.
I'm not done with them. They did many more amazing things, and you wouldn't believe the files I have on them. So I'm not finished researching them, and I'm definitely not finished writing about them. It's a bigger story that has a larger story arc that would take several novels to tell. And I'm hard at work on it. The second one is just about done. You know, it'll be out in a year, and more to come after that.
Well, the new book is Girl Waits with Gun. It is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Amy Stewart, always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Amy Stewart is the author of the new novel, Girl Waits with Gun, published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.